potential candidates for governor in the state of Wisconsin have all recently said they will not challenge Republican Governor Scott Walker. There was a congressman, a former state senator, a businessman, and even an ex-Green Bay Packer. So what's going on here? Why can't the Democrats, at least not yet, field a candidate to run against Governor Walker? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network. We will talk with our guest, Mordecai Lee, who's a professor of urban planning at UW-Milwaukee and a former state lawmaker, who says something weird is going on. And we'll wonder if you agree or what questions you have. We're also going to touch on the Republican race that is at least starting against Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. Let's welcome in Mordecai Lee, professor of urban planning at UW-Milwaukee, a former state lawmaker. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So what do you mean something weird is going on here?
Well, generally speaking, the political system generates candidates. The political system is full of ambitious, young, talented people. You might almost call politics the convention of type A personalities. And so here we are a year and a half before the election. Generally speaking, by now, people are creating exploratory committees, are announcing, are having meetings. And instead, what we're seeing is people dropping out. And so this sort of goes against the built-in internal dynamic of politics, which is that ambitious people push themselves forward. And, you know, it's sort of like being an entrepreneur or a small business person. They, on their own initiative, they start running, and they're willing to take the risk, and they're hoping that they'll be lucky. And that doesn't seem to be happening on the Democratic side. And so I find that really unusual and worth trying to explore, because something out of the ordinary is happening.
Yeah. Well, the most recent higher-profile candidate to drop out, former state senator Tim Cullen, he was indicating, hey, I'm going to do this. It seemed like he was a sure thing. But then he announced, well, I don't really like this dialing for dollars thing. You know, the fundraising turned him off, apparently.
Yeah, I think that's really significant, because when Tim Cullen was the majority leader in the state Senate, he was actually known as a pretty good fundraiser. He was known as a guy who could get things to happen. And so in particular, for Tim to say that he found the fundraising to be a really difficult mountain to climb is very significant. And I think sort of two things are going on here. One reason it's so significant is that Tim Cullen is a retired state senator and I believe is retired full time. And so unlike most politicians, in a sense, he had nothing to lose. You know, when you're, let's say, a member of the Assembly or a member of the State Senate and your term is up and you're wondering if you should run for higher office, you're in a position of what's called up or out. In other words, you can't run for reelection and the other office at the same time. And so it's a risk. It's a risk management problem. Tim Cullen was not in an up or out situation. He wasn't in a risk management scenario. So particularly for him to say, the only reason I'm not running is because of the money, tells us how significantly the financial sort of landscape of Wisconsin politics has changed. And I think it's more than just, you know, sort of finding contributors and sort of having events and having fundraisers and doing mailings. I think we should go back to the fact that two important things happened in Wisconsin politics over the last couple of decades. One was that the Republican Party and sort of the right in general was willing to spend whatever it took to win elections. And I think going back to defeating Governor Earle would be the first one. Winning a majority on the state Supreme Court would be another one. The amount of money that was spent when Governor Walker survived the recall. But finally, the real sort of winning but new development is the fact that as a result of John Doe 2 failing, in other words, the investigation about if there was a legal coordination, between the Walker campaign and independent spending groups, the de facto result of John Doe 2 being frozen and then tossed out is that now coordination between independent spending groups and political campaigns is permitted as long as the independent spending groups don't use what's called the magic words. They don't use the words like vote for, vote against. So when you suddenly have this new situation of an unlimited amount of money, of undisclosable money, flowing into the political system in coordination with a political candidate, in this case my example is Republican, but could just as easily be Democratic, you're facing just a Niagara of money, and I think that is in particular very intimidating to people like Tim Cullen.
Yeah. Well, what about Governor Walker? You know, he survived a recall. He he's got a budget now that might be something that that people like. Maybe he's just too strong a candidate to beat, and that's why Democrats are not lining up.
Well, generally speaking, in politics, it's sort of like an onion. There are different layers with different explanations. And I think I'm really glad you raised what you did, because I think that is one layer of the onion. And just as some of the arguments that I used just before are also layers, but there never is one single reason. But certainly, Scott Walker is a fabulous politician. He's really battled his way back from those the terrible situation he was in when he dropped out of the race for president. He's slowly built back up a level of popularity. He hasn't quite hit 50% yet, but he's come back quite strongly. Ever since dropping out of the race for president, he's really sort of reengaged in presenting himself to the Wisconsin voter and going out and being out. And so I think that if politics is indeed a risk management profession, then the point you raised, Joy, about that he's looking stronger and stronger, that's one of the reasons why we're seeing people dropping out.
Yeah, Walker's approval rating in the most recent Marquette University Law School poll, which was taken last month, was 45%. It's been ticking up over the last several months. He also, I mentioned he won the recall. He actually won three statewide elections, with winning re-election as well. Wisconsin voted for Donald Trump and Republican Senator Ron Johnson this past November. How difficult will it be for Democrats to defeat Walker?
Well, I think it'll be plenty difficult, whether we're talking about the U.S. Senate race or the governor's race, and for a simple reason of demographics. In some previous shows, Joy, you and I have talked about the significance of turnout levels and how there are different layers of a cake of sort of demographic characteristics who vote. And the people who sort of vote in a hurricane, the ones who just for whom it's part of their DNA, are people who, generally speaking, are above average in income and above average in education and above average in age. And when you think about that layer of the demographic cake, that's a layer that skews Republican. You know, sort of a higher income, higher education, higher age. Now, of course, there are Democrats who fit it. We're talking about rough sort of generalizations. So in the lower the turnout on election in Wisconsin, the more it skews to that layer, the more it skews Republican. And the higher the turnout election, you're dealing with sort of the irregular voters, the people with a lower propensity to vote, lower education, lower age, lower income. And they tended to make it make Wisconsin winnable in presidential races. But it's a big, heavy lift for the Democratic Party. These are hard voters to get to vote. So what we're coming up in the fall of 2018 is a midterm election with a lower turnout, and therefore, just sort of the built-in demographics of it, it seems to me, skew Republican.
Yeah. Well, at this point, I mentioned Democrats hadn't fielded any candidates. There is one committed candidate, a 25-year-old Stanford University graduate named Bob Harlow. He lost a Democratic primary bid for Congress in California last year. He called that effort a trial run and predicted victory in Wisconsin because there's a core energy behind his campaign. Your reaction to Harlow's candidacy?
Well, certainly it doesn't fit the profile that we tend to think of presenting the voters with a viable candidate. Generally speaking, we talk about people who have longer roots in an area, who have perhaps held lower office, perhaps are currently holding office, perhaps have distinguished themselves by being involved in certain things. So by definition, and without in any way criticizing his age or background, he wouldn't have those sort of standard cards in terms of the cards he's holding. Now, does it happen sometimes that there are fairy tales in American politics where somebody who's thought of as a long shot wins an election. Donald Trump is, the perfect example of the longest of long shots who really was a fairy tale in the sense of it was the biggest political upset since Harry Truman won election in 48. So whether it's this young man or more names that I'm sure are about to be generated, do they have a chance? Yes. Do they have a really good chance? I think it's a steeper climb for them.
Well, we will talk about some of the other Democrats who are still, who haven't ruled out a run for governor, like State Senator Kathleen Vinehout, Dane County Executive Joe Parisi. Anyone else you can think of? 1-800-642-1234. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. In today's State Capitol Report, we are discussing why we don't have many Democratic candidates for governor. And we will, in our next segment, talk about the Conservation Congress hearings that are taking place tonight and some of the conservation-related public policy questions that are on the agenda. Right now, we are talking with Mordecai Lee. He's a professor of urban planning at UW-Milwaukee. He's a former state lawmaker. He was quoted as to saying that something weird is going on after several high-profile Democrats recently announced they will not challenge Republican Scott Walker in next year's gubernatorial election. We are welcoming your thoughts, your questions, your nominations for the Democratic nomination for governor, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. What do you think is going on? Who do you want to see run? We do have a number of people on Facebook who have suggested a number of people, including one who said that Kathleen Vinehout was his choice. And as I mentioned before the break, a couple of Democrats, including State Senator Kathleen Vinehout, have not ruled themselves out of the running. Vinehout finished third in the Democratic primary in the Walker recall election in 2011. She made a brief run for governor in 2014, but bowed out after being injured in a car accident. She said that she was going to do a little bit of research. We talked to her back in February. She said she would research the rural voter and their appeal for Donald Trump, and then make up her mind as to whether she would run for governor or not. Mordecai, how much of a Trump effect do you think there might be, for example, in Kathleen Vinehout's case?
Well, I guess one of the reasons that politics is fun is because the Wisconsin voter insists on being unpredictable. Mm-hmm. So even if we were to be handicapped races right now, that might not necessarily be true. It might be totally off. Sometimes in politics, you're sort of lucky, or you ride a wave, or there's some kind of lightning strikes. As I recall, when Senator Vinehout ran the first time, she was had to decide if she was going to be an up or out situation. In other words, would she run for re-election as a state senator, or would she run for governor? And ultimately, that's a hard decision for people to make. And so when we're looking at potential candidates, whether now we're talking about Democrats running for governor or if we're going to be talking about Republicans running against Tammy Baldwin for U.S. Senate, this up or out situation is a key factor. And the real field to recruit people are state senators who are in the middle of a four-year term who have what's called a bye. In other words, they could run for a higher office, and if they lose, they're still in their current office.
Here's an interesting quote. Matthew called in to ask, is this all a bait and switch, as in the Democratic Party of Wisconsin knows who will run, and they are encouraging speculation and won't announce until we are closer to Election Day? Is this a ploy to make sure Republicans can't attack the candidate too long or dig up dirt?
Well, it's a fun theory, but we Wisconsinites aren't very good at keeping secrets.
Yeah.
and what I remember is when Mary Burke emerged as a kind of a consensus candidate in the last go-round, she did a little behind-the-scenes work. Some activists did behind-the-scenes work, but it was really fast when the rumors started flying that there was this candidate with an unusual background that people were rallying behind. So Even though it's sort of fun to think about, you know, conspiracies and secrets and stuff like that, I don't think it works very well in the political sphere.
Brad on Facebook suggests Senator Chris Larson, Representative Gordon Hintz, or Representative Katrina Shankland. I'm not asking you to, you know, to endorse or not all three of those, but those are our current state lawmakers.
Well, I really like that he generated lists of people who are currently in the state legislature. If you look at Wisconsin politics, generally speaking, the state senator is sort of the farm league of the big time of Wisconsin politics, that almost all governors and U.S. senators and members of Congress and other statewide elected offices have previously been in the state legislature. And so that's the right place to look. You know, there are a lot of ambitious people there. People are willing to take a risk, but it is a big risk. And so when you sort of apply the whole concept of risk management to politics, that's where it comes into play. That's where it comes into, I'll take a risk, and if I lose and I'm out of office, I'll still be happy about it because I would have made the decision with a clear conscience. Or would they kick themselves and say, why did I do such a stupid thing? And that's going to be the moment where they engage in a kind of a risk management assessment.
Dave on Facebook asks, why can't anyone just say it? There's not a single Democrat with the courage to take on Governor Scott Walker. Getting beat by him, like the last two candidates, is a political death sentence, and they know it. Russ Feingold might have had a chance, but he was too afraid, and then he lost to Senator Johnson. Is it a political death sentence?
No, I don't think so. If Governor Walker had an approval rating in the 60s or 70s, it would be a political death sentence. It would be just a token candidate, the sacrificial lamb for the slaughter. I think there's the possibility of a viable race, but for the kind of issues that we talked about at the top of the show, coordination with independent groups, the amount of money that the right has to spend, it seems to me that it is a tough uphill battle. And we'll eventually see a race. We'll eventually see a primary. And that person may well win. It's just that as we're sitting here, it's understandable why some people are making decisions not to run.
Danny in Fond du Lac is with us. Hi, Danny.
Holly, hey, I've been listening just a little bit. So these two candidates might have been talked about. I think I'm hearing Joe Parisi a little bit. I don't know what you discussed about that. He's a well-known name, and he's been in the state house. So I think that's interesting. I'm also wondering about Kathleen Park.
Well, there we go. The current Dane County executive and the former Dane County executive, and Kathleen Fault, of course, did run. Was that when Walker was elected, Mordecai?
Yes, and I think that was the first race. I think that was the primary that Tom Barrett won. But if I'm wrong, I hope somebody will quickly call in and correct me.
Yeah.
I think Ms. Falk has sort of moved away from politics. She might feel that she had her chance and now her interests are in other areas. The Dane County exec, one of the reasons that we would look at county executives as potential candidates for really any partisan office is because they're elected on a nonpartisan basis. They're elected in spring elections. And so for them to run in a fall election means that they don't have to give up their office to run for it. And so for relatively cautious politicians who are willing to take a risk, but know that they've got that sort of fallback situation, being a county executive is one of those places of ambitious people who might take on a statewide race.
So is there still a lot of time for Democrats to mount a challenge without a higher profile Democratic candidate already announced or seriously working on it already?
Well, generally speaking, I would say that by the fall, there would sort of be a need for people to start acting like candidates, just in the sense of what it takes to put together a campaign organization and endorsers and fundraisers and start developing a treasury. Those kinds of things, they simply take time. Now, it's possible that people won't emerge until next spring, but the thing that I simply want to flag is a detail that probably most people wouldn't consider very important, and that's that we used to have our primaries in September, and the filing deadline to get on the September ballot was July. We now have an August primary, and the filing deadline to get on the August primary has moved up. I think it's June 1st. I might be wrong. Again, I hope someone will call in and tell me if I'm wrong. But if it's around June 1st and the initial circulation nomination papers, let's say, are May of 18, that means that we're exactly 1 year away from people formally getting signatures to get on the ballot. 1 year is not a lot of time to get organized, and that's why I think it's a bit of a relevant discussion, even though I'm sure there are some in your audience are saying, what do we really have to think about the November 18 election now? That's sort of the internal timetable of how politics happens. Yeah.
Not a lot of time to talk about the U.S. Senate race, but among Republicans said to be in the mix are Nicole Schneider, the daughter of the founder of Schneider National Trucking Company in Green Bay, Madison businessman Eric Hovde, State Senator Leah Vukmir, State Representative Dale Coinga, Milwaukee businessman Kevin Nicholson, Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald. What's your reaction to that field? That's a big field.
Joy, I think it's great that we have talented politicians, whether from the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, chomping at the bit to move up. We as voters benefit from having so many choices. The only caveat that I'd add is, let's say we have three, four, or five people in the race. Then that means the winner of the nomination, the winner of the primary, might only get, 30% of the vote, 35% of the vote. I wish we in Wisconsin had runoff primaries so that there would be, between the top two vote getters in the primary, we'd have a runoff. And then that party would know that truly so-and-so is the preference of the majority of the party's voters, as opposed to a minority of the voters. I think that's healthy in the long run to be sure that you have a representative of a party philosophy. But this is sort of the weakness of Wisconsin political structure.
Mordecai, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Mordecai Lee, professor of urban planning at UW-Milwaukee and a former state lawmaker.